It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me. And then who will lock you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
I'm impressed with how I liked it more than I thought I was gonna like it.
Told you should have put the book back, Danny!
It felt like wet flesh flipping over. It didn't feel like dry book leaves turning. It felt like every page had weight.
Don't you think Mom looks just like one of those pictures from that book?
It adds on properly to the overall arc of the story.
Mom, stop it!
We've had the appetizer, we've had the prolonged suspense, we've had the gawking and staring moments aplenty, but from the moment somebody had a real injury, then it's like, okay, now it's for real.
The bridge was gone, you can't get out in the cabin. The stairs are gone, you can't get out of this building.
Everybody here dies by dawn, Dad.
This is not a remake.
This is same universe, kind of altered and done well.
Dead by dawn! Dead by dawn!
Dead by dawn!
Dead by dawn!
Dead by dawn! Dead by dawn!
My friends, you've made it to another Horror 101 podcast. This is your host, Cash Wampum, welcomingyou to episode 134. 2 days before we convened to run the microphone for this episode, Evil Dead Rise was released for stream. Hot off the press, we had to strike while the iron was hot. None of us were fans of the 2013 remake, and expectations were low for this entry. All of us had avoided spoilers, and we were going into this cold. We hope you enjoy our Horror 101 treatment of Lee Cronin's addition to the Evil Dead universe.
The man is nefarious.
What's up, Paul B?
What's going on?
Welcome to episode 134. Welcome!
Of Shitty Evil Dead.
Oh, hold on now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hey.
Hold on now. Is it guarded optimism or guarded pessimism? That's the question.
Just guarded.
I think it's going to be shite. So no Nick with us tonight.
No, I think he was. He's gonna go help his parents.
His parents this weekend. Yeah, and next weekend was his Jess's.
One of his girlfriend's birthdays.
Hello, folks.
Brian Stewart.
Oh, sure. I come bearing gifts.
Welcome. What you got there? Oh my God, it's you pick. That's oh my God, that's like 10 pounds of wine gums, man.
Well,
you would,
dear Lord. I'll sit this right here.
Good, how are you?
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
I mean, okay, Evil Dead, 1981.
Love it.
Out of the gate, first movie, holy shit.
Evil Dead.
Technically not, but yes.
The I remember watching this with Jeff McLean in his basement when we were like 12 or 13 years old.
Rented it from Applause Video. Remember Applause Video?
How did you rent that rated R movie at 12 years old?
We got it.
And everybody.
Because Ellen wasn't working there, bitch. Ellen wasn't there with her fucking security protocols. How old are you? No. We got it.
And everybody had the same experience. They rented it at a video store. It had been watched about 7 trillion times before, so yeah. It was all fucking distorted.
Yeah.
It was bleached. The sound didn't match up. The tracking was fucked. There was it doesn't matter.
It
looked like a snuff film.
Yep.
It looked like a snuff film,
but...
But yeah, Evil Dead. Probably one of my favorite horror films ever. It's like that first screening. There's certain movies you remember the first time you watch. Like, I honestly couldn't tell you the first time I watched Halloween. I honestly couldn't tell you the first time I watched The Thing. I could tell you I watched Creepshow on Matchett Road. I remember that.
I remember the first time I saw Blair Witch, and it was at the State Theater in Detroit, because it hadn't been wide released yet. It was only art house release, and we'd heard a buzz. Because I was working at Jumbo Video at the time, and I had to go back after the screening. I had to work the midnight shift that night after seeing it, and drove back from Detroit, and holy hell, that ending shook everyone in that friggin' audience.
There's a lot of horror films that I've loved for decades, but I honestly couldn't tell you the first time I've seen them. The Evil Dead, I could tell you without any hesitation exactly where I was and when I saw it the first time. It was just absolutely incredible. Just like the first time we watched I Spit on Your Grave. First time I watched the 1978 version, I couldn't sleep that night. That movie fucked me up. Are we getting sucked in here? I think we're
it's
getting
marketing.
Sucked.
It's marketing.
We're getting sucked in here just like we did with those three Halloween films. We're getting sucked in.
It's neighbor
we have condition. To watch this, right? Because it's got Evil Dead on it.
Yes. Well, that means
we have to watch this. Well, we're going to get sucked in at the end of the year for Exorcist, right? We're going to have to watch that.
Yes,
we're going to have to watch it because we're fucking Horror 101.
Well,
we have to.
Okay, we're obligated, but I wouldn't say we're being sucked into it.
Mandated. Anyway, like this, I don't know. We were talking about it earlier. Guarded optimism, guarded pessimism.
I'm on pessimistic side.
And Helen's always like, you don't like anything new. This is what Helen tells me all the time, right? If we watch something that's new, I don't like it, she does. She's like, you don't like anything new, which is bullshit, because there are new things
that I enjoy. Maniac. The remake of Maniac.
Yeah, but I mean, now we sound like a bunch of old... Like, that was like 2010.
Correct.
We're going back like 10 fucking years saying, like this.
13.
We like Black Phone.
We liked this.
Black Phone was last year.
Yeah, Black Phone was new. But now, liking new things for us is the exception to the rule. You understand that now.
Well, they need to start making fucking good movies.
Yes. That's what I've been saying. Hire some actual writers.
Like fucking good movies.
Now with the writer's strike out, we're going to see a shitstorm of crap and mediocrity for the next year. It'll be reality TV.
Is it possible that we're now the old curmudgeons?
No,
we've always been curmudgeons.
He was born in 90 as a curmudgeon.
I was a film critic.
That's right. Brian Stewart popped out of his mom at 50, right?
I was a film critic. The moment I walked out of my first movie at 13.
What will it take for you to enjoy this film, Paul B?
To be original?
Okay.
To not just change it from Ash Williams to whoever the girl is in this. Like, don't just replace a character with a new character.
Mm-hmm.
To try to bring something new to it. Don't just give me Easter eggs for the old film.
I want things that are familiar to the original trilogy. Yes. If you're gonna say Evil Dead Rise, okay, we're making an Evil Dead film, then I want to feel at least a few times like I'm in the same universe as this film from 1981. Okay. Can you do that?
Yeah, so what we're looking for is the same tone, but with new characters.
This is Sam Raimi's baby.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have Sam Raimi doing it with Ted Raimi, his brother, and Bruce Campbell, if you don't have those people involved, Rob Taper, besides throwing money at it, being producers, if they are not being creative, it's not going to feel like an Evil Dead film at all. So that's where I'm at. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe we'll be surprised. But we knew this was coming. We're going to have to fucking deal with this situation right now.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother,
"What is this, Danny?
A
found it.
What will I be? Here's what she said to me.
Open up now.
You don't look so good, Mom.
Nothing a big old kiss from you won't fix.
I promise.
You'd be a good mom someday, honey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know how to lie to kids. Mom?
Mommy's with the maggots now.
I like the beginning credits with the whole point of view traveling shot. Mm-hmm. It's like, there we go. Renaissance Pictures. I'm like, okay, yeah, they're starting this right.
Yeah.
You're thinking, okay, this is kind of familiar. And then it's coming for some chick on the end of the dock, and it's not the evil, it's a drone. Yeah. The guy's flying a drone, so we're getting the point of view of the drone, which makes sense. It makes sense, yeah. Man. It's like redirection.
What the fuck, Caleb?
Oh, wait till you see the shot I got. It looked like you were going to shit a brick out sideways.
You could have taken my head off.
It wouldn't have been a clean decapitation with these blades. You'd just scramble your face up real good.
Shouldn't you go see if Jessica is feeling any better?
She'll be fine. I gave her Klonopin so she can sleep off whatever the fuck is wrong with her. Girl is such a pain in the ass.
There's somebody who's sick, and we're all like, well, obviously they're dead-eyed, and
yeah.
Something's going to happen. This chick ain't right. She's sick, right? So she goes in, and...
You better wake up in the next half hour, or I'm going to be forced to go drown that brainless meat puppet's sorry ass.
What book was Wuthering Heights? You sit there and sure enough, the girl gets up in bed and she starts reading what's on the page, which harkens back to her reading off the cards. Oh, Queen of Spades, yeah. Jack of Diamonds, Jack of Clubs.
I think
Helena
said that during the film.
Yep.
Finding it useless to attempt shaking the creature off, I pulled its wrist onto the broken pane.
Jess?
And rubbed it to...
Can you shut up?
And fro... Till the blood ran down and soaked the bedclothes, yet still it wailed, "Let me out!"
And sure enough, she rips her fucking hair out.
Scalps her.
Exactly, scalps right? Her. And then goes to see Buddy on the dock, and then kills him in the water, and then rises up, and that's the beginning of the movie, Evil Dead Rise.
You're forgetting the first thing. She purposely takes the drone and fucking mashes
her face in with it. They love to be in control of flesh, and they love rending
and
that flesh as well.
They love tormenting before they do it.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite black t-shirt. I need it for the Labor Day protest tomorrow. Mom,
you're not going to any protest on your own.
Sophie's dad's taking us. I've told you like 10 times already. Remember?
Well, did you remember to check the bathroom hamper?
Tell Danny to turn the music down. Mom says turn the music down. I put it on that myself.
I like the fact that they took the time for all of us to get to know the two sisters and the three kids.
That I like.
Cassie, you better not have my scissors.
Don't got him, Mom!
It's dirty.
Well, stick it in the laundry and I'll do it later.
You'll forget. You always forget.
You know where the washing machine is.
We're given about 15-20 minutes to actually care for these people up until shit hits the fan, right? It's not like nobody's a throwaway. The little girl, the sister, the brother, the two older sisters, nobody's a throwaway character.
Hey, Bridget. Mom's a nice and we're watching all the Freddy movies in a row.
Even the shitty ones.
There aren't any shitty ones. So you, want to come over and...
In your dreams.
Oh, yeah, it's like, want to come watch the Freddy movies?
No bad friends.
Even the shitty ones? There are no shitty ones.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
Beth, you bitch.
Surprise, sis.
When did you get into town?
I Ubered straight here from LAX.
You've been sleeping? You look like Mom.
Pete's looking like a tampon. You know the downstairs buzzer is totally busted. I was able to walk in right up the street.
Whole building's busted. It's getting knocked in a month.
You're kidding me.
Nope, we're out.
Have you guys found a new place?
Not yet.
Who are the main players here? We've got we're introduced to Elle,
single mom.
Ellie.
Yeah.
Who's obviously pregnant, you know, she's in
No. Beth is the pregnant.
Beth is the pregnant. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we're introduced to Beth, who's figuring out in some dingy fucking
nightclub
bathroom that she's pregnant, obviously, and she goes to see her sister, who's
going through a divorce.
That's right. So her sister Ellie's living in a fucking slum place.
Yeah.
And she's got three kids.
Yeah.
And recently divorced. And Beth shows up, hey, what's going on? It's like, yeah, we gotta move because this place is being condemned. We gotta move. Well, where's your husband? Yeah, that's a long story. Too bad you didn't pick up your fucking phone.
Danny, go take my car and get pizza with your sisters.
Sure thing, Mom.
I just can't wrap my head around all this.
What, did he meet someone else?
No, he believes paying child support equals co-parenting from afar.
Why didn't you tell me, Elle? I would have jumped right on a plane to help you work through this.
I called you. Twice. First time when he told me he was leaving, second the night he moved out. That was 2.5 months ago, Beth.
They also bought a lot of pizza. That was like three large pizzas.
That was a lot of pizza.
People.
Well, like, okay. Maybe they had a special.
I guess.
Well, they come back in the car and it's just that 5.5 on the Richter scale hits, eh?
Yeah.
In the parking garage.
Earthquake!
So this was interesting because I thought about this too. Is the evil in the basement, is the earthquake and the building being condemned all continuing signs that the evil is starting to break out? Like it's causing the building to decay. It's causing the earthquake.
If it was only that building, I could probably see it, but I think it's the whole earthquake and then that actually unleashed because someone put it down there to protect and had all the...
The book and the records.
The crosses and the rosaries, everything surrounding that area.
The big
area.
Statue of Jesus.
Yeah, in order to protect what's down there.
Holy shit, Bridget, check this out. What is it?
There's a hole.
So if that kid had not went in and opened it, I think they would not have...
Oh, they'd have been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need verbal... that's right.
They
somebody
were planning
reciting
to demolish,
the
right?
passages.
But they were planning to demolish the building, which means it would have been discovered inevitably.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that somebody's going to read the book or play the record.
No, but it wanted to be found. It's like the ring, right?
Yeah, but of course it wants to be, but it doesn't mean it's going to be unleashed.
So it has a better shot at being unleashed if it's discovered, though.
You think it might be worth something? Mom could do with some extra money right now, don't you think?
I don't think Mom wants cash from something you stole.
It's not stolen. It's probably been locked in that vault forever.
Yeah,
And weird shit like this gets locked away for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what? And part of the thing that you had mentioned earlier that you didn't like, the fact that they're making it canon that there's three different books.
Yeah.
And I know we're jumping ahead, but I just want to go on the record. I was trying to internalize things that would make me want to like the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me something that I can sink my teeth into. And the fact that they mentioned that there was three books, but they mentioned that there's three volumes of the book. Not exactly that there's three different copies of the book, but there's three volumes, different volumes.
That all do different things.
Of the Notorum Demont, or the Necronomicon Ex Mortis. So that it tells me, it's like, okay, well, so the book that they found in the cabin in, like, 81, that evil did this.
Yes.
This was the kind of demons it presented, and this is how it acted, and blah, 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 blah. But this book here, this is the kind of evil and chaos. Similar, but not quite the same kind of deal, you know? And I'm like, okay, I can get behind
that. Thinking about it is probably the best way they could have done that.
Yeah.
Just leave it, Dan. Oh, fuck. Let me see it.
Just a nick.
Harry Potter fans are going to make fun of that because that's literally the Book of Monsters from Harry Potter. But
and then it opens
well,
it up.
Well, that's also Army of Darkness.
And I'm like, oh, it's a picture book. You know, at least the original Book of the Dead, you open it up and there was text.
Yeah.
You know, with some pictures inside the text. But this was like, it was a picture book.
But
it
again,
was
all, different book, though.
Yeah, exactly. It was all. It was mostly just full page. Horrible drawings.
Yeah, impalements and burnings.
And the sister's like, why don't you shut this book up right the fuck now?
I do like the sound effect they had for the pages turning, because it felt like wet flesh flipping over. It didn't feel like dry book leaves turning. It felt like every page had weight.
I don't like this, Dan. You need to put it back right now.
Mom's not letting any of us out the front door again tonight.
First thing in the morning, then. Promise me?
So he's playing the record, and of course it's like, hey, we found this book, and the priests, right? Priests from 1923. That's some sort of a conference, and everybody's like, this is heresy!
Good afternoon, my fellow clergymen. I am Father Marcus Littleton, the library keeper here at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and I welcome you all today to the City of Angels. You've been invited here to witness the unveiling of a unique artifact that was discovered by our overseas missionaries. I would like to present what I believe to be one of the three fabled volumes of Notorum Demont, the Book of the Dead.
This is
the Book of the Dead for a reason.
That's right. You don't be reading from this book. It's like, yeah, fuck those people. There's three of us that are going to try and translate this privately. And they do. And it's
and
like,
it's recorded at wrong speed.
Right. They've got to manually speed it up so that they can hear it correctly. And sure enough, when it starts reciting the passages, the evil takes over. He can't shut it off.
And I, Father Marcus Littleton, shall now commence reading aloud the first of the spiritual resurrection passages.
Well, and you can see the evil coming down the road into the building for her, right? And I appreciated that. It was like, okay, we see what's coming, and it's going for her. So it makes sense that she's the catalyst for all that shit.
That was done in 1 and 2. The same thing going through the cabin windows. And,
that's fine.
You know.
And it makes sense. Yeah. That's Evil Dead, right? The evil's unleashed with the...
And it's coming for the person that...
And it's coming for... Right. It's like, that person right there. I want that person. Yes. Which happens to be the mom. And who thought she was going to get raped by the fucking elevator cables? I thought, because they were poisoning that up. the cable's like X-ing her out. Yeah. In the middle, I'm like, oh fuck, what are they gonna do with this? And then they just kind of like snap a limb or two, and that's the end of it. Just torture. That was it.
The early Supernatural elements was just so much padding. It was really starting to get irritating.
What's up, sis?
I had the most beautiful dream. We were together sitting in a tall forest. The wind was clean and the birds were singing the sweetest melodies.
And oh, I had this wonderful dream
that it crawled inside of you.
You know, and it's like, what the fuck are you on about? And of course, no, the power's cut. Nobody knows what's going on. And yeah, I hear what Brian's saying. It took a long time for them to figure out what's going on.
Oh,
she puked up all that white shit.
Which is right from Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Evil Dead is more milk-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let it take my babies. That's what she said.
It's inside me. Don't let it take my babies. And then she passes out.
It's more milk-like. Yeah.
Stairs. Go! Go, go, go! Danny! They're gone!
After the fit hits the shan, though, like, immediately, everybody's like, okay, we gotta get the fuck out of here. Go for the stairs. Stairs are gone. And it was like, okay, the bridge was gone, you can't get out in the cabin. The stairs are gone, you can't get out of this building. And the elevator's sitting there like jaws of death.
Which with is the door opening and closing. Why the entire time you think it's something else, and you find it's just the keys are stuck in the doorway.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, she was fine. And then next she was talking crazy, and now she's gone.
There's no fire escape ladder on the north side of the building. I could try to get down that. Raise the alarm, get some help in here.
You have to go through 82.
Oh, shit. That's unoccupied, right?
Yeah, like most of this condemned dump.
You got the tools. We could just cut right through the door.
In my truck. You ain't getting through those old doors without something heavy duty.
But that also, so there are some things that absolutely make sense, and I'm glad they have it, but that doesn't make sense. If there are people staying in the building, they need immediate access to the fire escape. The fact that it is barricaded to the point where no one can use it is against the law.
It's a condemned building.
That's why it's condemned.
Then no one should be allowed to be even living in there.
That's why they gave him a month's
notice. Yeah, there's that many people still living with a month to go?
Yeah, I mean, it's America. I mean,
look, it gave you the total impression of dingy. The lights were very, very dim. Yeah. There was no joy in these apartments.
It reminded me of Joe's apartment.
It's like, yeah, just very dingy. I'm like, oh my God.
I can't believe I'm never going to speak to you again.
Hey, Betty Boo. It's Ellie. Calling to say hi. And, Beth, you have to help me, Beth. You have to. I'm burning alive.
She gets the voicemail saying, I'm burning a lot.
I'm burning
here. So the sister's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, while they have you, they've taken your soul, and you're now burning
which they set up earlier when they dump her in the bathtub, and the water just immediately starts fucking sizzling.
She's burning up. Yeah. Like, It's like, I'm burning alive, you gotta help me. It's like, holy fuck, what's happening to her, right? Yeah.
Mom?
She's alive? She's burning up.
That was good, and the fly across the eyeball, when it flickers and it flies away, and then it looks immediately out of the corner of its eye. Yeah. I thought that was a nice
And then
shot.
And she gets up. She's like, oh my God, you're still alive. You know, at this time, like, they don't know what's going on. It's like, oh my God, I thought you were dead. You're still alive. But oh my God, you're burning up. We got to get you in the water, right? Get her into the tub.
Right.
Get some cold water. And then the fucking fit hits the Shan, right? And that's what everybody sees in the trailer, is her doing the spider walk up the fucking wall.
Which I
and
wasn't
screaming.
I have to say, I'm not a fan of that.
We wouldn't have had that awesome fall into the tub then.
True.
If you didn't do that, because I think that was cool.
Mom? Mommy's with the maggots now.
That part of the film, there was just, for me, far too many slow reaction shots. They piled them on in the first half to the point where it gets a bit tedious. Where, watch strange thing happen, wait, people gawk, scare, they're like, and I'm just watching it for several minutes, and then another scary thing happens, wait.
Mom, stop it! Stop it!
Yeah, I'll tell you, the moment that blade of glass goes through the palm of her hand.
It's
all bets are off. That's it. That was like the body dropping in REC. From that point on, it's no more spooky. It's downright, now we're going to kill you. We've had the appetizer. We've had the prolonged suspense. We've had the gawking and staring moments aplenty. But from the moment somebody had a real injury, then it's like, okay, now it's for real.
Brian Stewart, you got a favorite scene?
You know what? I actually really like the view through the peephole in the door. And I thought that was really cool stuff. I hadn't seen that. The only thing it reminded me of was Rosemary's Baby, when you saw Ruth Gordon through the peephole, and it gave her that weird kind of fish-eyed look and made her look weird and strange.
Yeah.
But I like that we, at that point, feel safer than I think we're ever going to feel again for the rest of the movie. Because at that point, we had just freshly locked the door. We had barricaded the door. For the moment, we're as safe as we can be. And it's basically license for the movie to put it on a show now. Right, we have all the extra cast members out in the hallway, and so now we get to have a little bit of fun. And it's probably the most fun we get to have in this movie. Everything else is gut-wrenching, but everyone in that hallway, we just get to see through that tiny little narrow opening all these people being dispatched in different ways. We see the young kid get just whipped against the wall. The guy with the shotgun gets one shot off, and then he doesn't even know what he sees. His shocked expression looking left where we can't see is nice. I like that we don't get to see what he sees, but it's enough that gives him pause after he just put rounds into somebody, right? And then he gets yoinked away and tries to fire off another shot. So we get just little snippets. We can't see the whole picture, which makes it somehow more terrifying. And it works. It really works. So we get this sense that, okay, out there is fucking instant death. We're safe here, and all we can do is watch.
Beth? These two. There's this creepy priest on them, reading passages from the book. It's like a weird dark prayer. When he spoke the words, Bridget's right. This is all my fault.
My favorite scene, I think, my favorite scene was the sister in the kitchen when she's starting to go, and she's looking at the wound that her mom gave her on her cheek. And when she looks at it and it starts spidering out, I'm like, oh my God. Remember Various? Remember when his girlfriend's wound from the pencil started spidering out? And we knew that she was fucked. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, "You're fucked!" And I was like, "Okay, finally, this is not segregated just to the mother. The other people are going to be a threat in this film, and they're inside the apartment, and the other people don't know. How is this going to play out?" It played out wonderfully.
I was going to say that as my favorite scene or scenes. Every time something happened, the book flipped to it. Exactly. Every page, it kind of coincided. I thought that was brilliant.
Open up and let us in, Cassie. We can be a big, happy family again.
You don't look so good, Mom.
Nothing a big old hug and kiss from you won't fix. Open up now, like a good girl.
But suspense does not, I mean, stupidity does not generate suspense. Stupidity generates irritation. And when a character is doing something blatantly stupid, it's not scary, it's just really frustrating. And frustration is not what we want in a horror film. Frustration is awful. What I want is genuine suspense. And they had it there, but that's not suspenseful. And the carefully considering, you know, that to turn the knob and take forever doing it. And I'm like, that only works if they think they're doing something intelligent or right. But they're doing something clearly stupid. We're just sitting here going, "Oh, just eat her already. Like, just die."
Child endangerment, Ryan Stewart.
Yes.
You get child endangerment?
She endangered herself. Trauma here for everyone. Everyone had their own personal trauma. The daughter, when she turns, Helen, you looked away. You could hear it first. They warned you it was coming.
Yeah,
she's munching on the fucking glass.
Uh-huh. See, I thought they were going to go one step further. She's going to try spitting out teeth.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then she's swallowing it, and you can see the indent.
That was fucking amazing.
That was
amazing.
Great.
The indents of the glass going through her throat.
It wasn't even an indent. It fucking went right through her throat.
Yeah, as she was swallowing it. She's got to deal with all the shit that's in her tummy, right?
Like, the implication is that goes through her throat and the skin of her neck.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I think, okay, if I have to, when Cassie's Stephanie impaled Bridget.
Oh, yeah.
When she came at her and basically got it, and the gurgling sounds, then all of a sudden she pulled it out of herself, and then she collapsed type of thing. And it was like, I thought that was really well done. Just the blood in this,
The gurgling blood sound design when people are taking massive damage was well done.
Yeah. So that's my favorite scene of De Niro. Like, I liked so many, but I think that if I have to pick one, that was my favorite.
Even the girl on the staff was good afterwards.
Yeah, everything.
It is now 2 nights since I read aloud from the book. My want to understand and commune with the other side could not have been more misguided. I make this final recording as a warning to whoever next comes into contact with his malignant pages. Naturum Dumonto cannot be destroyed. When you find it, bury it deep in our secret vault. For the words I uttered have unleashed a demonic entity beyond my darkest nightmare.
Everybody caught the spider walk on the ceiling behind her when she was listening.
That was my favorite scene.
Yeah. I didn't even catch it.
I said, did you see that?
I know, like, I looked over at Helen because I was like, that is fucking real. And when it actually I mean, I looked at Helen, but what it reminded me of is Brian's favorite scene for Friday the 13th, too.
Yeah, through the window.
Where you just see Jason through the window. Because that, you don't see it. You're just like, okay, you see her in the not the foreground, but, you know, the front of the camera, and she's listening to whatever she's listening to, and you just see this blurry thing off in the corner. And it
slides over.
And then you see the tile slide off. That's fucking really good. That was so well done.
And even before that, the sister had already turned, cornered the brother
in
the kitchen, and fucking puked up all that blood on his face, ran him through with the kitchen knife through the arm.
Right through the musculature of the arm.
So, like, right into the counter.
What's great about that shot is that they allow the arm to lift slightly off the counter, so you can see the knife had gone clean through and pinning it. So you can see, oh, it's okay, because a lot of times you can see a fake arm just stabbing it right through. They don't have to show it, but showing the knife go right through the flesh, that was really something.
See it stretch because it was, it was really good.
Told you should have put the book back, Danny!
I was expecting him to get rescued.
Of course, child endangerment, man.
I didn't expect them to be that gruesome. I thought if they're going to go balls to the wall, I have expected them to stab him through the eye or something, right? Or stab him from a distance, or stab him in the shoulder.
Well, when you last see him, he got the same knife right through the abdomen.
Oh, yeah. It's a meaty stab through his arm, too.
Yeah, but he gets stabbed right through, like, the heart.
Yeah,
and he's covered with blood, and he's apologizing for dying.
That was nice too. He's like, "I'm sorry."
Yeah,
it was like, "Oh, it was really kind of nice that he realized that it's all his fault." It is his fault. He's not my fault. Yeah, it fucking is. It absolutely is your fault.
Who's gonna know? I mean, come on. You find some cool fucking ancient shit in a vault, and you're not gonna play that record.
I will swallow your soul.
Please.
Ellie waits in hell for you and your unborn bastard baby.
I mean, the sister gets back in with through the air vents.
Yes.
And gets a pair of scissors shoved right in her fucking mouth.
Oh, right. Not even in her mouth. Half in her mouth, the other part of the scissor up her nose.
Yeah.
Like up the palate and up the nose.
Oh.
That slowed her down just a moment. It's like the deadites, they take damage and they have to go dormant for a moment.
Everybody here dies by dawn, Beth. Dead by dawn! Dead by dawn!
And then everybody she had killed in the hallway when they're making their escape from the elevator is like,
dead by dawn.
Everybody here is going to be dead by dawn.
Dead
and everybody
dawn.
Starts
dead
chilling.
By dawn.
Dead by dawn.
They get into the elevator, and the elevator just fills with blood for
reasons,
right? Like, that's, and from the elevator to the end, it kind of loses me a bit. You know, everything up until that was fine, but then it kind of Stephen King'd there. The film kind of has a Stephen King ending, and it's a detriment, unfortunately.
I did like the look of the lit buttons filling up with blood for it.
Well, that was fine. And the book is flipping to that thing that looks like the thing.
Right.
I'm looking at it going, wow, that kind of looks like the thing.
Yeah.
Where it's just a whole bunch of flesh and appendages.
We got the thing and we got the shining in the ending.
Yeah,
there.
I suppose you could say that.
It's coming!
but the whole cat and mouse thing around the car was
stupid. Because she was making so much fucking noise. It's not like she's wearing high heels and she's crawling through, then you hear
like
Everybody dried away was absolutely aliens when Duke fell down the mat, remember? And then so Luke, somebody had to go back in.
She's alive! She's alive!
She had to go back in. She could have gone for safety, but Sigourney Weaver goes back in to save the little girl.
Kicks her way through a panel.
Yeah.
And goes back in and sure. I was like, oh, look, there's a chainsaw. When she brings a chainsaw down it onto her sister's head, that was cool. Like, all that was practical. I enjoyed that, you know.
Well, the only reason they all formed together was so that they could have everything in one place so they could kill it at one time. You didn't have five wandering things to deal with separately because I didn't have time.
You know, you really do look like Mom. And you're gonna fail miserably just like her. You stinking horrible groupie!
That's what I got. Good practical effects, bad execution, and we didn't really need, because it's set one day earlier after the whole shit in the cabin, then you see that the girl in the cabin that went fucking homicidal as a deadite at the beginning of the film lived in the same building.
I like that. I like how it tied together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you think Mom looks just like one of those pictures from that book?
It's a good popcorn horror film.
It is. It's just, I never expected to like so many scenes.
We were all prepared to shit on this, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm the first one to admit, like, I came into this expecting to hate it.
It did, you know, it did what we said Maniac did well, is that it gave us something new within the rules, within the universe, right? It didn't just give us the same old, same old.
I know.
You know what? The problem with 2013 is that they were like, oh, this is a remake. Just like, you know, Friday the 13th was a remake, Nightmare on Elm Street was a remake. They all failed because they were like, this is the same movie, only different. And it's like, no, we don't want the same.
This is not a remake.
This is same universe, kind of altered and
new chapter.
Done well.
Yeah, it fits in. It's an amendum. It adds on properly to the overall arc of the story. The last film was a remake, and it failed because I don't think it understood what it wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is just, it's an add-on to the overall story, like I said. And it's done very, very, very well. Though I've got a couple of nitpicky things I didn't like, but I don't think you could have asked for a better... This is what Halloween could have been.
Yeah.
This is what Halloween 2018 could have been. Could have been this, had they done this the same way.
The beginning of the film, I like how it's New Line Cinema with Renaissance Pictures.
Yeah.
And Renaissance Pictures has been dealing with Evil Dead since the beginning, I'm pretty sure.
They have. That was them. You can see right there.
Well, no, at New Line Cinema.
No, you can see right next to Renaissance.
Renaissance Pictures from New Line Cinema.
Yeah, exactly.
So, same two companies. And this is Rob Tapert, who, you know, he produced the original. But this was written and directed by another guy.
Lee Cronin,
who, besides shorts, his only other feature film was one of the Irish ones that I was thinking of doing, where it was like a hole in the ground or something like that.
Yeah.
Where the kid goes missing and comes back and he's not the same.
Yeah.
And after watching this, I want to watch that film. Yeah. I really do. I want to watch this film. Because I think he handled this fairly well. This movie was handled much better than the 2013 remake.
This movie was handled probably about as good as you could expect a remake to do.
It was a perfect day. And all I could think about was how much I wanted to cut you all open and climb inside your body so that we could stay one happy family.
Paul B., you want to score this film?
I am going to give it an 8.5.
8.5? Wow.
I don't know if that's because of low expectations going in, mm-hmm. or if it actually earned it on its own merit, but I really, really, really liked it. Yeah, there's some padding issues. Yeah, there's some pacing issues. But no, I really liked it. It's scary. There's parts that are actually scary. It's gory as fuck. So if you're queasy or squeamish at all, like, gotta know that. This is what a remake, well, reimagining, however the fuck you want to phrase it, this is how it should be done. And if this is what 2013's was, then I don't think I would have come into this one as trepidatious as I was. It's really, really, really good. This is on the level of Maniac with me, the remake of Maniac.
Well, we scored Maniac 10, though.
I know, but I mean, like I said,
Ellen and I give it 10.
As far as like remakes or extended
in universe
extensions things, of classics go.
Yeah, this is one of the better ones, for sure. Absolutely.
Who wants to rot next? Eeny. Meeny.
Miney!
Neil, do you want to score it?
I'm giving it an 8.
An 8, yeah?
I like Paul just said, perfectly. I wasn't expecting anything. I wasn't optimistic or pessimistic. I was not, like I said, I explained at the beginning of the show, I'm open to like a progression, something new, as long as it was respectful of the original, and it was very respectful. It had bits and nods and, like you say, member berries throughout the whole thing, but done tastefully. And I would totally watch this again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Is what happened to Bridget and Mom gonna happen to us?
I'm not gonna let that happen. I promise.
You'd be a good mom someday, Honeybath.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know how to lie to kids.
Brian Stewart?
I'm as surprised as anyone to say I'm giving this an 8, too. I almost went 7.5, but no, I think the surprise factor carries it to an 8, because I'd like to encourage more of this. I think this is what filmmakers should be doing with an existing property. If we're going to have to wade through endless recycles, reboots, fucking, you know, just absolute flogging of dead IPs, then at least it's nice to see one person give us something new and interesting within the asset universe and not fuck it up. You know, it's kind of refreshing. Yeah, there are some downsides to this, but I think the positives far outweigh the negatives. The second half is way better than the first, with the exception of the ending, which is just ridiculous and just pointless. But the gore effects are outstanding. I thought for sure we were going to see CGI, obvious CGI, just kind of slapping us around a bit because it's Hollywood's way, right? The CGI blood, we're sick of it. We don't want to see it anymore. I didn't see any CGI blood here, at least nothing that I could point out. There may have been. I didn't spot it.
Yeah, if it was there, it was done so well, we couldn't tell.
Yeah, it was really well done. I liked the same as you, I like getting a good 15 minutes or so to get to know these characters. By the end, when you whittle down to the ones that will eventually survive, no spoilers, I actually am rooting for those too. I want them to get away. I want them to live, right? And so, I like the characters. My only thing is in the first half, just the really slow to react shots over and over and over again. I'm like, is anything going to actually fucking happen? Are we just going to see one weird thing after another in a parade of weirdness that never goes anywhere? But like I say, the moment we get that stab through the hand, from that point on, I've got no problems whatsoever with anything happens.
Hand trauma?
And some truly gorgeous framing. There's some really good camera work in this. Catching reflections in glass, having to see things out of the corner of your eye in the background of a shot. There's some really nice, you know, really good uses of depth in that tiny little apartment. I gotta say, we were talking about Bill Butler earlier. I was seeing shots reminiscent of like Child's Play, getting to see that beautiful fore, middle, and background all in the same shot, so you can kind of see a sense of the space you're in and the danger lurking behind. Or crawling through a hatch in a ceiling. I mean, there's some really well-established shots of this. I was genuinely impressed. I would say I like this. Like I say, dock a couple of points for a stupid ending and some padding issues up front and a few little niddly things here and there, but overall, I have to say this was good. I'm as surprised anyone to say that I would say this is a good horror film.
I want to listen to that vinyl. It's too dangerous. Those words...
Yeah, maybe there's words on there that can help stop all of this.
I will match your 8. I will match your 8, and this is from a guy that gave 2013 remake like a 3 or a 4 or something stupid. It was horrible. Like, I watched it once at the theater. This I would watch again. You know, if we had like people, you haven't seen it? Oh, you watch this again. Check this out.
Press play. I want to watch this again.
You press play? Brian Stewart was like, press play, watch this
That's
again.
That's a signature move.
You know, the practical effects were good, and the fact, like, we discussed that there was 3 different books, which they mentioned in Army of Darkness, which they kind of made canon, but at the same time, they played it a bit smart, whereas the record of the priest for 1923 mentioned there was 3 volumes of this book. So that tells me that this book is different from this book, different from this book, so they have different kind of outcomes if you read from it kind of deal. So that's what I'm taking from it, which allows me to kind of like release myself from, okay, well, they don't act exactly like they did from Sam Raimi's original Evil Dead films, right? The characters were well written. The gore was fantastic. There's some member berries in there for us. There's about 5 or 6 good member berries in there. Nothing over the top. The beginning was kind of like a throwaway, but it started off, like the first frames of the film start off on the right foot with the whole traveling shot and the whole, even though it kind of manifests into something new, like a drone. If the ending was fantastic, it would be a 9.5. But I got to dock it a few points. It's not a perfect film, but much better than I expected it to be.
How many horror films have we seen where we love that trap setting? And it had all the elements of being trapped in the cabin just on a high upper floor of an apartment building. And it works. It just works.
Worked a lot better than Poltergeist 3. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
My tests to date have revealed that its bindings are made of pure human flesh. Its passages and etchings inked in blood. Seek church approval to translate the spiritual mysteries its pages undoubtedly hold.
Destroy it! It's called the Book of the Dead for a reason!
I seek to look at this book for the good of man!
And there you have it, my friends. Evil Dead Rise, written and directed by Lee Cronin, starring Lily Sullivan and Alyssa Sutherland. Such a delightful surprise having a team treat an old loved horror story with masterful care and respect. 95% of the effects are practical and look fantastic. And I'd also like to say this. The brother Danny who released the evil in the movie is a trans actor. He was born a female. We didn't know this until after we read up on the film. There is no mention of this at all in the script. No virtue signaling, no politics, no agenda, just a trans actor who's been hired to play a part and doing an excellent job. Evil Dead Rise is a great example of how filmmakers can be progressive with their casting and not insult their audience by adding identity issues into a story it has no business being a part of. There is so much of this film that is completely refreshing, and we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
Andrew, if you find a vault and a dusty old like record in your basement under this house and you play it, you get what you deserve.
I tell you, if I found those records or something like that, I'd go to some place where I didn't like them. I'm like, yeah, let's play this for a bit. Okay, I gotta leave. See you later. I'm leaving before the football.
Find out where those
farmers, time to go.
Just find out where those people that live behind you went. Let's just leave them on their doorstep.
Time to go.